Hello, and welcome to NDT Now's podcast game, exploring topics in NDT which affect your business. I'm your host, Mary Beth Michelli. Today's podcast is brought to you by Edify Technologies, the world leader in advanced non-destructive testing solutions designed to always keep you beyond current. For more information, visit edify.com. On today's podcast, we will be talking a little bit about the NDT industry's recovery from the supply chain issues that plagued us during the pandemic. Here with us today to talk about that is Randy Wirtz from Evident Scientific, formerly Olympus Scientific, who has 20 years in the industry and is the executive director of global sales within the analytical instrumentation group at Evident. Randy, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Mary Beth.
So, for our listeners who don't know you, can you tell us a little bit about your career in NDT?
Yep, absolutely. So, as you'd mentioned, I've been in the industry for about 20 years. I had worked 13 years at Thermo Fisher Scientific. I was the sales director for the Americas. Part of the product portfolio was handheld XRF, which we're discussing a little bit today. There was also Raman, near infrared, and FTIR. So after Thermo Fisher, I started here at Evident. I've been here about 7 years now. Again, formerly Olympus, gets confusing at times. So at part of the analytical instruments group, right? So I run right now. I'm global sales for ANI. I have oversight of a bunch of different product lines, and also oversight globally. I'm involved in marketing, product roadmaps, things like that. So that's pretty detailed.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like you wear a couple different hats, so
Yes.
it'll be good to get your perspective today.
Good.
Let's go back to the pandemic. I know supply chain issues were a big problem, both on the material side and on the equipment side of NDT globally. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So it kind of coincided with the pandemic, with the supply chain issues. Most companies came across this. We weren't, the only company that had some of these supply chain constraints. What ended up happening, so in our product lines, especially the A&I piece of the product lines, with the supply chain, is we had issues with components, like a lot of the chips. And that was really predominantly what a lot of these companies went through. So it was difficult to get the material in. It was difficult to actually get the correct material that we needed. We were using this K60 chip. It was like ingrained in my head right now. So we had some issues with obtaining that chip and a number of other components and supplies. So what we ended up doing is, because of those constraints, like many companies, you scramble. We ended up contacting, trying to get different sourcing, looking at brokers. We would call directly to the design companies and semiconductor companies. We were kind of trying every single available avenue to obtain some of these additional chips that were required. We did a pretty good job with it, the supply chain in general. And it's funny, my colleagues at other companies, we are all experiencing, the same type of supply chain issues, which, were unique. And we were hoping we'd come out of it a little bit quicker than we did. So it was prolonged. It was over a year. We were running into some of these supply chain issues, along with our competitors, and other companies I had mentioned prior. We ended up having to redesign boards. We got different chipsets that we programmed into our equipment. So we a lot of different things that we ended up trying, and actually, in the long run, it made us more effective today. But during that period of time, it was challenging. Lead times went up over 50% plus in regards to delivering to our customers. So it was unbelievably challenging for the company, and then also the sales teams. They went from just selling equipment to trying to manage the backlog, and the delays on the lead times. So it was it was a challenging time for many companies with the supply chain aspects.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we saw that universally across NDT. I mean, even from a personnel standpoint, right? Because you couldn't have a lot of people in the same place at the same time. People were working split shifts and all
Yes.
this other things. So everything was delayed. And of course, we saw it in other industries, automobiles and refrigerators, everybody, anything that used a chip was suddenly in really bad shape. So we weren't
Yeah, absolutely.
alone.
Yeah. No, we weren't alone. And the other product lines in this company, as you mentioned, so we have ANI, we have NDT, we have RVI, we have a microscopy group. So it impacted all the product lines. And like you mentioned, it just even for us as consumers, trying to buy electronics or appliances was insane. It really was challenging for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and one of the things that we talked about, I actually talked about this for the BINDT conference in the fall of 2020, which of course was remote, right? So we all sat in front of our screens and we all talked to each other and gave technical presentations. But my presentation was specifically on some of the challenges that the pandemic held for NDT. And we talked a lot about supply chain. That was a really big topic. But one of the things that we spoke about, how it really led to a change in the industry, right? A more a resilience that we didn't quite have before because nobody had ever anticipated anything like what we saw. So that said, can you tell us a little bit about where you are now with supply chain and maybe speak about it in general and then give an idea of where Evident is on all this?
Yeah, sure, no problem. And yeah, you're absolutely correct. Because of what took place for all of us, I think it made us all stronger, in regards to how we work, how we approach work, how we source, how we. So I'm global, so I travel a lot. My travel's gone down now because we could do these video conferences versus me getting on a plane and going to Japan. So it's definitely had a positive impact as well. For us today in general, the supply chain has gotten back to a steady state for all companies. So for all product lines, now if there's a supply chain shortage, it's because of a particular vendor or a company. It's not worldwide. It's not an issue like it used to be. So we've come out of that pretty strong, all companies. Our company in particular, it really had a positive effect on us in regards to, so our lead times are down to days now, not weeks. So it really, and because of what we went through and all companies had gone through with the supply chain, there were areas where we had some weaknesses that we originally didn't identify. Like many companies. So we tightened up on that, improved everything. Our lead times are better now than pre-pandemic. So we really have a quick turn on that, which a lot of companies learned and advanced past that as well. We work with different brokers and just different vendors, and so it really expanded our lens in regards to how we go to market and how we get our components and supplies. It's helped us, but it was challenging for the those 18 months that we went through it.
Growing pains, right? Everybody with
Yes.
the growing pains. But yeah, I agree. I feel like the industry is more efficient now
Yes.
at getting equipment and getting it in the hands of the people who need it, and we've maintained the quality, right? So that's the important part, that we still have the high quality, but we can deliver at a faster pace now, which is great.
Yes. Yeah. And that going on the quality issue, that's a good point. We our company and my, I'm a little bit biased because I work there, but we have solid product. And so what we the challenge, and we actually met that challenge. We didn't want to rush through and build things and ship out product that wasn't to our quality level, our level of standard, right? So we ended up that delayed things as well because we wouldn't shortcut things to ship out our product, which I, you know, which is very good. And I'm glad we followed that route, and a lot of companies did the same. But you know, you could have took the shortcut and delivered more product, and you know, it wouldn't be effective out in the field, and when, you know, the quality would have gone down significantly. That really helped us out as well.
Yeah, and that certainly speaks to the companies that did that, right? Because it's sometimes it's hard to stick to your core values in the face of so much pressure to get product out there and to really still maintain that quality, knowing that you're disappointing some people potentially because you can't deliver, during that time period. But to stick to that level of integrity, is really great because it reflects the whole NDT industry, right? That's what we're all
Yes.
about anyway.
Yes. Yeah. And in the long run, it's just a much better approach. The companies that went down that path, I think it does make these companies stronger, made our company stronger. I think
Absolutely.
it's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, since I have you here, and we've not done anything on XRF, on our podcast, so can you tell our listeners a little bit about XRF and how it works and maybe what it's used for in the NDT space?
Yep, absolutely. So XRF is X-ray fluorescence. So we call it handheld XRF or a little P XRF, which is portable XRF. So it's a device that some people call it the gun. It's a device that, you know, looks like it's a small device. It's handheld. It's portable. And what we utilize this device for within our business and then our competitors as well, everyone in the NDT space, is we look at basically elemental composition. So we take this analyzer, like for NDT, right, during a turnaround, we'll take the analyzer, and an inspection company will go in. They'll have these XRF handheld XRF analyzers, and what they'll do is they'll take a look at some of the piping. And what they'll do is they'll test the pipes. And they'll test the pipes for corrosion, right? So you're looking at the elemental composition, chemical composition of the pipes. They'll take a look at those pipes. And it's either, hey, is this, do we have to change one of these pipes out or a whole group of pipes? And if they have to change some pipes, right, that are wearing out and all the NDT testing that goes along with it, thickness gauges, ultrasonics, everything else. If they have to switch out a particular pipe and reconnect it to another pipe, existing pipe, they have to make sure that the chemical composition is identical, because what happens in this world, and again, this is not just with handheld XRF, but if it's not identical, the chemical properties of the pipes, they're not as strong, and that creates some issues down the potential issues down the line of of it, you know, disconnecting, explosions, things like that. So in the NDT world, we call it PMI, positive material identification, and that's, everybody calls them PMI guns in the oil and gas NDT world. So we utilize that incoming inspection for QAQC. We'll test bolts, nuts that have come inside. You know, we really want to look at the metal composition of that material to see what it is. And that's in the NDT world. These analyzers in general are in a lot of different areas. They're in mining, cash for gold. I mean, there are so many different markets and applications that you have with these types of analyzers. Scrap recycling is another big one. Fab houses, metal manufacturing, which ties back into the NDT as world, where we're in a lot of fab houses as well. And they're identifying what the material is. You know, what'll happen is there's things called an MTR. It's a piece of paper. It tells you what metal just came into your facility. And we always say test but verify, right? Trust but verify, just to make sure that it is that correct material. So that's kind of what it's used for the most part.
Yeah. And I know when I was in when I was doing failure analysis in New York City, we used to use it on site every so often because we'd be looking at something, we'd be like, okay, so we need to know what material this is. So when we go
Yes.
back and take all the data that we can help us analyze why it failed. So we used it a lot for that.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, it's, you talk about the clothing industry. You get, we had years ago, you have sneakers coming in over from China. And what you do is you test the metal eye inlets to make sure there's no lead in it. So to, detect lead as well. So you can, the little rubber duckies that kids play with, there's phthalates in those. It tests for that.
Gosh.
It does, it tests everyday life. It's I'll bring the analyzers home once in a while. I used to show my kids all the time. They're like, what is this? You test a toy or you look at it. And depending on what it's made of, you can, it doesn't tell you what everything is, right? Every material is. So XRF is not for plastics. It's really for alloy metal, soil sample testing for exploration and mining. Does all that kind of thing.
And it doesn't do carbon content, right?
Does not. So carbon content
Right.
is LIBS. So that's a different type of technology.
I remembered that too from my failure
Yeah.
analysis days that
Yeah.
it did
LIBS and
not do.
OES. Yeah. LIBS and OES in it too. Yeah.
Nice. Well, Randy, thank you so much for joining us today to discuss the state of the industry as well as give our listeners some background on XRF. I think that was very informative for them. You can find Randy on LinkedIn if you'd like to discuss any of this further. And you can visit evidencescientific.com for more information on their Vanta systems. So, with that, thank you for listening today. Randy, thank you for being here. And remember, join us every month here at NDT.com, brought to you by Edify Technologies. Learn more at edify.com.
Thank you very much, Mary Beth. It was a pleasure.